Who is that? Who's playing there? Who's playing? Can you always tell, Bob Mammon, and welcome to the show, and it's great to see you again, and great to see your brother Tony, and please give your mom my love. Can you tell your own playing? I've never even thought that. You can immediately tell.
Well, thank you, Rick.
That's you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome here anytime. That's from, that's from Impromptu.
Yes, that's from my Impromptu album.
You did with the trio.
That's right.
You've got a gig coming up at Jazz Showcase.
That's right.
When?
It's Wednesday, December 5th.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Shows at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m.
You can go to bobmammet.com. B-O-B-M-A-M-E-T. You love playing the showcase, don't you?
It's a great venue. I think it's one of the best venues in the country, really. It's just a great jazz venue to I love going there as a spectator and always love to play there.
Yeah, and you seem incredibly comfortable on that stage, too.
Well, thank you.
You really do, even with your mom sitting in the front row, the devoted jazz fan.
Okay.
You spent, Bob, a lot of time in L.A.
I mean,
you're born and raised and grew up in Chicago.
I did, yeah.
This is where you got the music bug, but then went out there for a time. Tell me again, or remind the listeners, I'm sure some of them are fans, what that scene was like.
Well, you know, I was there. I first moved out there in the early 80s, and it was a big, the scene I was in was like studio musician, film composer, that kind of thing in Hollywood. And it was very vibrant, back then. It was a lot of the studio music and the music you heard on TV and things like that were very jazzy. It was very jazzy stuff.
Yeah.
The crime shows and
sure.
Kojak, stuff like that. It's like very
urban. Yeah.
Yeah. Urban jazz. And so it was fun. It was a fun scene to be in. Were there a lot of
I've never been able to get a handle on the jazz scene in LA club wise.
Yes.
Is there one?
There's definitely a jazz. It's changed over the years. It's kind of shifted, since I've moved back here to Chicago, but I still get back to L.A. a lot. It's kind of shifted to a more kind of modern rock and, clubby, type of thing.
Yeah.
Electronica, things like that. When I first was there in the earlier days, it was a lot of jazz, tons of jazz clubs, but then over the years it kind of shifted. I think, to be honest with you, I think there's a much more vibrant jazz scene here in Chicago.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I just think of LA as a place that is more knee-jerk reaction to trends. And
yes.
And here. So what drew you back to Chicago?
Well, a lot of things. I mean, first of all, being from here,
there's a pull. It's like your half brother David,
yes.
Mammoth, the famous playwright. When I was out there talking to him about his novel,
yes,
his big deal novel, Chicago,
yes,
he and I got in a very long conversation about this pull.
That's right.
That the city will.
I think. Anyone who's grown up here, wherever they move, if they move to New York, L.A., anywhere, there is a pull to come back. There's the people, the people that you relate to, are still here. Even new people you meet are still, they're Chicagoans,
And there's something, and I, not to get overly romantic about it, but there is a kind of, there's a sort of honesty here that I can't imagine exists in Los Angeles.
There definitely is an honesty here. There's an authenticity here in Chicago.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the word.
For sure.
During this segment, I promised we'd play some tunes too. You want to hear something now?
How about number?
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Number nine. How about number nine?
Number nine from the White Album.
Yes, a tune called Kitsia. Yes.
Katsia.
Yeah.
How? Mm-hmm. Bob Mamet, that's really beautiful. Tell me about that tune.
Well, you know, that...
When did this album come out?
This came out a few years back.
Yeah.
And it was actually my first trio record.
Was it recorded here?
It was actually recorded in L.A.
Okay.
You know, but I played a lot of the tunes from here. And that tune, could see, I loosely call an Israeli samba, because it mixes the modalities of the Middle East and Hebrew music with the rhythms of Brazil.
Yeah.
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 So.
Now, you came back, and you are performing on December 5th at Jazz Showcase.
Yes.
You haven't gigged around much
lately.
You have a regular thing, right? Do you want to talk about that? Semi-regular thing up in the sky.
Oh, up at the John Hancock Building, or
yes,
we formerly used to call. We still call it that.
What is it now? I don't even know what it's called now.
875 North Michigan.
That's ridiculous.
We know it's the John Hancock Building.
Yeah, I do. Where do you play? 875 North Michigan. Oh, really? Well, what's that building?
And I do play up there the first Saturdays of every month. You know, every first
by yourself.
Saturday. Yeah, doing solo piano sets.
Bar.
It's a restaurant.
Oh,
you know,
wow. Interesting. The 95th, the famous
95th. The 95th, the first Saturdays of every month, Saturday nights. And I just do my versions of kind of the hit songs dating back from the 1930s until today.
I haven't been up there in ages.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah. No, it's very nice. It's very nice. But, I mean, I still do tour, but not as much. I'm actually going to be playing in L.A. After this Jazz Showcase show.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going headed to L.A. to play. But, you know, I like hanging around more now. You know,
yeah.
Hanging around, you know. I mean, notwithstanding the weather, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But,
do you go out and hear a lot of other musicians?
I do. I do try to. And I know you have some good musicians coming up, right?
Yeah, they'll be on the phone.
Yeah,
Because they had a gig in Oak Park. And Petra Van Noyes and I, too, were like emailing all day saying weathermen are stupid. They don't know anything. Let's wait and see. It could be sunny.
Well, she's got a tough job nowadays.
She's a grand talent.
She really is. I'm looking forward to hearing her.
One of the things is, too, Bob, in this town is there are so many talented and friendly musician. I mean, I know there's some jerks out there, but generally this is a very nurturing climb.
Very much. Very much. Musicians here in Chicago, they support each other and they, look out for each other. This is good.
That's another part of that, the authenticity I think we were talking about. I mean, there's no real ladder to be climbed here. I mean, if you're playing the showcase every once in a while, that's about as good as it gets anywhere, right?
Well, I think it's, first of all, the venue itself has moved around, you know, geographically in Chicago many times, but it's maintained its integrity. It's just like one of the best jazz clubs you can play at.
When Joe Siegel, the legendary Joe Siegel,
and now his son Wayne runs it now too.
But Joe came into the studio before we left. I said, "Really, Joe? You're 90 something."
That's right. I think he's 92 or something like that.
92.
He's been doing it.
He says, "I'm not as old as Studs was." And he decided to come into the studio.
That's great.
The last time I saw you play, I think, was at Pianoforte. Which is
a great venue on
South Wabash.
That is a great venue.
Or South Michigan.
South Michigan. Thomas Zoles runs that place, and it's a really great. I mean, they do mostly classical there, but then they do represent the jazz community there too, and I do play there a lot as well.
Yeah.
And it's just a really great venue if anyone is looking for a more intimate but still a really vibrant classical and jazz venue. That's a great one.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to bobmamet.com to learn more about Bob Mamet, or stay tuned to learn more about Bob Mamet, because we'll talk more about his career right after the news, and you'll hear another tune of his choosing. And his brother Tony will be on here in the spring to talk about movies and music and all sorts of other things. He's over here. He was visiting for Thanksgiving, and he's not flying anywhere.
Not tonight.
I love that song, Bob Mammoth. The news was brought to you by victoryautorecords.com, if I forgot to tell you all that. What about Bob Mammoth will be with his trio?
Yeah, the trio, some special guests as well.
And special guests?
Yes,
okay,
yes,
good.
Yes.
December 5th, that's Wednesday, at 8 and 10 at Jazz Showcase.
That's right.
Almost without argument, the best club between New York and, I don't think, Hawaii.
That's right.
I don't think LA has any clubs. Between New York and China.
That's right.
It's the best jazz club between New York and China. Anything different about this show, Bob?
Well, one thing.
Special guests.
Yes, you know. But, you know, we're going to do, you know, in addition to original tunes, I'm going to be doing a few different original tunes, this that I haven't maybe done in a while. But also, we're going to do a tribute to the great jazz pianist McCoy Tyner. He's turning 80 years old in a couple weeks, really.
Wow.
I think it's December 13th he's turning 80 years old. But so here, we're playing on the 5th. And so very close to his 80th birthday, we're going to do a little bit of a tribute on a few of the tunes just to, you know, just to give a little, you know, a lot of the fans, you know, are... People are big fans of McCoy Tyner, and then some people don't even know who
he is.
Right.
One of the things in your career in music, what has changed markedly is the recording end of jazz music. You have a number of CDs.
That's right.
But now, who buys CDs? I don't even know if people buy CDs anymore.
No, it's more. A lot of them are streamed.
Streaming.
Yes.
More
of my music is just streamed.
Well, but it changes the whole. We once talked at length about how one conceives, and I've talked a lot about this with jazz folk.
Yes.
How you conceive of a CD. There's a narrative to it. One song follows another, not indiscriminately, but for a reason.
That's right, and you can see with the packaging, you could see all the players and who played on it. That was that used to be a big thing, like who played bass and who played. Now, just people are just they enjoy just listening to the music, is streaming it, and it's a little bit more disposable because you don't physically hold it in your hands. If you want it, you stream it.
It bothers me. I'm going to tell you. No, I am going to tell you.
Right.
It troubles me.
Uh-huh.
And that's because I'm some kind of Luddite about it. It troubles me because you're right. There is packaging involved, and there are songs one following the other for a specific reason.
That's right. Programming.
How has it changed your notion of recording?
Well, I mean, one of the things is, you know, just what you said. You're not thinking as much from tune to tune to tune. Every tune has to be, should be, a through composed, a standalone song, as opposed to, like maybe in the past, you would have a little prelude on one tune and then another tune, which is the main tune, and another tune as an afterthought. You can't really do that anymore because someone's just going to listen to your afterthought and say, what's this?
Yeah.
You know, when they put it out, when they stream it or when it comes on, Sirius radio, Sirius XM radio, which I like. I mean, they play me on Sirius XM radio, Spotify, all that stuff. I like it. You know, I think it introduces your music to.
Okay, interesting. It broadens the audience.
Broadens the audience, but I definitely agree with you as well that it does dilute a little some of the finer points of jazz that were traditions for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you sit down to write, how often do you do that?
I try to do it. You know, I when the mood strikes me, I you know, if I'm thinking something in my head, I'll sit down, or sometimes I'll improvise for an hour, and then maybe you'll get 90 seconds of something that might be a little kernel of composition that you'll go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are my favorite jazz musician. You know that.
Well, thank you, Ray. Thank you.
Come see Bob Mammoth at the one and only Jazz Showcase December 5th at 8 and 10. With two shows with special guests. You will not divulge who those special guests might be. And I can't even guess. How could I even guess? Love to your mom. She'll be there.
Yes.
She'll be there.
Yes.
So Kathy Murray, who at one point said, well, I don't really like jazz, but that Bob Mamet, whatever he's doing, is the greatest. Now she's a big jazz fan, which is a great thing to turn her on to that music, because I think a lot of people, too, in a couple of minutes we got left, a lot of people will say, you know, I don't like jazz. And you probe them a little bit, and you realize, well, you know, they were introduced to jazz through Miles Davis rather than Ella Fitzgerald. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
And so, to my mind, it's if you think you hate jazz, invest 5 minutes and hear something you've never heard before.
That's a great.
Because it can thereby enrich the rest of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Check,
and, And Bob Mamet on December 5th at 8 and 10 would be the way to do that. It's always great to see you, Bob. Love to the family.
Thank you so much.
Get home safely, though.
Yes, you as well.
That's my main command. You know, I could always sleep on a couch here because it's only like two blocks away from the Tribune. I'm living a nightmare here. All my jobs and my place are living here in a small, small little sphere.